This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Today we bring you an extended version of my recent interview with Robert Ezell. Ezell has been with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo for 44 years, 30 of them as executive director. Now he's retiring on December 31st. The Western Michigan University alum was quickly promoted through the ranks from his role as part-time game room and program supervisor. Ezell says growing up in foster care has given him a special soft spot for kids. Welcome to WMUK.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
For those who may be unfamiliar with the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo, what is that?
Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo is an after-school programming providing services for school-age youth between the ages of 6 and 18 or kindergarten through high school.
So in 1986, you became the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club. That's about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that actually you may have broken a record here in Kalamazoo County as being the longest serving nonprofit executive. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
How does that make you feel?
I feel good about it. We've done a good job at the Boys and Girls Club, not just myself, but all the many people that have come through my supervision and have impacted the lives of many, many, many young people. So I feel very good about the number of years that I've been there.
No one, I imagine, stays in your position as long as you do, especially in the nonprofit world and one in which you have a board. What do you attribute your longevity to?
Passion, a mission, a vision, and a purpose, strong board involvement and leadership from the board, and just a strong desire to make a difference in what we do in Kalamazoo. And my passion for helping young people have a future and a plan for their futures. Me, myself, I never knew my natural parents. I was given up at birth. And I know the particular emphasis of having a mentor and people that really care about young people. And that's part of my passion, to try to help make a difference and be that mentor and be that leader that keeps kids out of the rough and on the right path to a successful future.
I think you're being a little bit modest when you talk about that. That's a deeply personal story for you. You said that you were given up for adoption, and ultimately you landed at the Lake Farm for Boys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how you grew up.
Boy. I've been fortunate, and obviously there's been some struggles in my life and a lot of adversity. Very young, I don't remember a lot of the early years. I do remember being in Catholic orphanages, being part of the foster care system, and going from home to home. I developed a lot of anxiety because some of the home foster homes at that time that you went to were strictly for profit for the foster parents. A lot of false care, if you will, in terms of you really didn't get that love thing, that feeling of belonging, having a opportunity to have an influence over what's going on in your life, where people that care about you give you those opportunities and those options. And I didn't have those options early on. When I did come to Kalamazoo and I landed at Lake Farm, that's where my true mentor and father figure.
Uh-huh. And that's now called Lakeside Academy. Uh-huh.
So when I landed at Lake Farm Boys Home at that time, it was a place for orphan boys and boys from families had to be removed from families for whatever reason. And when I landed at Lake Farm Boys Home, that's where I met my mentor and my father figure, which was Clarence Dooley. All the boys there affectionately called him Pops Dooley. And I think that's where my life began, actually.
He was the executive director.
He was the executive director there, yeah. And
how old were you when you got there?
I was just going into the seventh grade. And so, 12, maybe? And I was just, that's where my life began, I think. This was a man who had a tremendous amount of influence, a tremendous amount of love and caring for the boys that were there. He really made a difference. He gave me a mission, a vision, and a purpose. He gave me an opportunity to be successful in life. When I needed him most, he was always there. I can remember going to Oakwood Junior High, which is Woods Lake Elementary now, and parent meetings, he was always there. Anything that I needed in terms of clothing, you know, it wasn't evident that I was living at Lake Farm Boys Home. Okay, he made that clear that I was going to be just like any other kid that was going to school, and there was not going to be any differences that would identify me as being out of the ordinary, if you know what I mean. So he took all that care to make sure that I was just like the mainstream, that there was no differences in me and the other kids that were going to school.
Studies, you know, have shown that children who grow up even in the most dire circumstances certainly can increase their chances of success in life with exposure to even one caring adult. And that's what you're showing right here.
Absolutely.
So I bet you that's exactly what you try to do at the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, I mean, it's at the Boys and Girls Club, the main thing is developing relationships with our young people when they come in the door, that they do belong, that they are somebody, and that we care about them. I ask my staff to know as many kids by name as possible. When a young person walks in that door, my staff have to be able to say and welcome them by name. We don't want young people coming through our door and feel as though they're not there, that they're not noticed, that nobody cares about them. They get enough of that in life. What we are doing at the Boys and Girls Club is giving kids an opportunity to have influence and feel as though that they're there. We ask them, how's your day? Is there anything going on today that you want us to know? We want kids happy. We want kids to come to the club because they feel that they're wanted there. I mean, there's no requirement for anything at the club other than the kids come to the club because they want to come to the club. I mean, it's an open campus. It's not like in school that you're required to do X amount of things. We want a multitude of opportunities for young people to get involved in the programs at our club. I feel that the more experiences kids have, the more well-rounded they are for life.
All the programming is free.
Yes.
During the academic year, you operate after school through after school hours up through when?
We're open after school hours approximately 3 o'clock until 8 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
And then during the summers, are you not also open? Or
yeah.
How does that shift? Or is that because, does it become a camp setting where people need to be there all day, or can they come in and out?
Actually, our activities are really extended in the summer. We open up at 9 o'clock, and we're open until 8 o'clock during the summer. What that entails is that at 9 o'clock, we have a participating arts academy. And that's an opportunity for young people 6 through 12 to engage in non-traditional activities such as instrumental music, dance, ballet. We have drums, acting, talent programs. We have variety shows. Then we have our open program, our open campus that starts at 1 o'clock and goes to 8. And that's from Kate, again, that's school-aged youth for that program. We also have a summer camp, and those are ages 8 through 13. We take out 48 campers a week. It's an overnight camping program, and that's absolutely free as well.
An overnight camping program, how long does that last? Is that a...
That's just during the summer. That's a six-week program.
A six-week program. Mm-hmm. Where do they go?
We're about 45 minutes to an hour from Kalamazoo. We're actually, our camp is actually in Hastings. We have over 250 acres there. Cabins, big activity, all-purpose facility, and a swimming pool out there. Kids can hike, they can enjoy nature, environmental education. It's really a great opportunity to get our kids out of the city and into an environment where they're unfamiliar with.
Can you tell the listeners where you're located, where your main headquarters are, and some of the other kind of satellite locations that you have?
Sure. Our main location, our main campus is at 915 Lake Street. When I started working at the Boys and Girls Club, that was our main campus. It was our only campus at that point.
That's actually adjacent to Edison Elementary
adjacent
School.
Adjacent to Edison Elementary School, right across from St. Joe's Church, another landmark if people are familiar with that area. That area is really expanding a lot. And when I first started working at the club, the South Side was mainly people that owned their own homes. And that has changed drastically in the last 30 years. Most of that is now rental property, single parent families, multi families living in that housing. So it's really changed the environment of that neighborhood drastically, as I said, in the last 30 years. We have two other sites. One is located on Patterson. We are in with the Douglas Community Association. We partner and collaborate with them. So at one end of the building, we have a program that's adjacent to Interfaith Homes. We intentionally located there. At the time, the Office of Juvenile Justice had some funds available for public housing, activities for public housing, or we had to be within 500 feet of public housing, which the Douglas Community Association really worked out well for us in their partnership with our board of directors. The Douglas Community Association board of directors came together and agreed that this would be a partnership with us that we felt would benefit both the young people and the community as a whole on the north side of Kalamazoo. We have another unit located on Gertrude Street. We partnered with Kalamazoo Public Schools. We have had a strong relationship with Kalamazoo Public Schools. Basically, our main campus is located on public school property adjacent to Edison Elementary. Our Gertrude location, which is located at Northeastern Elementary.
On the east side of town.
On the east side of town, yes.
We've been talking with Robert Ezell, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo. He retires at the end of the year after 30 years on the job. Why is it important to keep kids engaged?
With the multitude of things facing young people today, there has to be a place where kids can go and be held accountable, number one, but also have an opportunity to engage in positive activity. Many of the kids that we see are, as I said, coming from one-parent families, and many of the parents or the kids' parents are really struggling to for basic needs, a roof over their head, food, clothing, those type of things. And what Boys and Girls Club does is allow parents the opportunity to have their kids in a safe place, so where they don't have to worry about where their kids are after school. Whether their kids are unsupervised, whether their kids are subject to negative influence of our community, I mean of our world. There's all kind of things facing kids today that even when I was a child, even though I came from, was given up at birth, I never had to face the challenges that these young people face today. I mean, there's a lot of negative things out there. There's a lot of aggressive behavior. Our kids face a number of negative things just going to school every day. We are located in the three areas in town where the most identified free and reduced lunch kids are identified. The most violence is identified in the areas where we are. So I think it's very important that we provide the type of program that's going to allow young people to develop their character. And character is, in my opinion, one of the most important things that we can develop in our young people is character and accountability. And I think that's what we do at our clubs. While allowing kids to have fun, we don't want to take the place of public schools. I mean, kids go to school for a reason, but I also believe kids have to have fun and they have to have smiles on their faces after school and a time just to relax and be themselves. And I believe that's what we allow to happen at our clubs.
You got the opportunity to head a nonprofit organization just like your mentor.
Right.
Pops.
Yep. Absolutely.
Is he still living?
No, he's passed away.
Do you think he'd be proud of you?
I know he would be.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Because Pop Dooley is with me all the time because he gave me an opportunity. He gave me a chance. And I think what I've done with my life, he would be proud of because he spent his whole life doing pretty much the same thing I'm doing.
What have you learned is the secret to reaching kids? What is it that we could all learn?
I think it's love and commitment. I think it's love and commitment and consistency with young people. In the many years I've been at the club, the thing that really inspires me to want to continue this type of work, because I know that the impact is there. And I've had kids call me back. They see me in the community. Now their kids are coming to the club. You know, I've been there. I've probably seen a few generations of kids that come back to the club. Their kids come to the club because their parents had a good experience there. they remember coming to the club, whether it was me or whether it was another staff, they keep sending their kids back because of the experiences they had there. That tells me something. That's big to me. I had a kid call a few years ago, called me from Colorado, and he just called me. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I get this phone call, and this kid says, they used to call me Big Bob. Big Bob, this is Mike, and I just want you to know I'm getting married, and I wanted you to know. That was it. And I said, wow, you know, that's some impact there. I probably hadn't seen that kid in 10 years. Had my home phone and called me. So you know you're making an impact. We're not going to reach every kid. I've never assumed that we're going to make a difference in every kid's life. But we know that if we touch one kid or 10 kids or 20 kids, we're doing our job. We're doing our job. And I talk to funders, I talk to people in regards to, you know, our society is driven by numbers now and data. Well, that's fine. But each kid is an individual. I don't count kids as data. I count kids as individuals and human beings. And if you can affect change in one of those young people, it does matter.
Are you finding also that kids are different today than they were before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How are they different and how are they even yet the same?
Well, kids are going to be kids. They're going to have to experiment with things. That's what development is. Okay. That is what taking chances and trying to learn things is all about. The thing that I see that it's the challenge that we have now with young people, there's more violence. There's more drugs out there of all different kinds. I mean, stuff I hear out there right now. What is that? You know, I mean, when crack first came out, you know, what is crack? Okay. But that's everyday life. It used to be everyday life for kids, but now you got ecstasy, you got all this other stuff out there that I have no idea what it is, but that's not the kind of things that are facing kids today. Their behavior. Many of these kids live in a world of entitlement. Just because I'm here, I'm entitled to all this stuff. The work ethic in a lot of young people is gone.
And probably not kids just there, but kids everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. I find it everywhere. I think parents aren't allowed to parent. I mean, I think the rules have changed in regards to how do you punish your kids, you know. I mean, and I don't want to get into the political aspect of it, but I think that people have to be able to parent their kids the way that they feel benefits the kids. I don't mean beatings or anything, but I think that if a kid's doing wrong, the kid has to know they're doing wrong, and a parent has to feel as though they can work with their children and not feel as though they're going to be arrested and what have you.
I should mention for those people who don't know that the Boys and Girls Club is a national organization.
Yes.
And this just happens to be kind of the local branch of it. Just number wise, how many kids do you serve a year?
We have a membership of over 2,000 young people. We have an average daily attendance of between all of our clubs at about 250 young people a day. And I'm glad you brought that up, Arlene. We are part of a national organization. Nationally, I'll just give you a brief historic perspective of our national organization. There are over 4,000 Boys and Girls Clubs in the country. We're in Europe and Asia, we're on Indian land, and we're also on military facilities. Our national membership is over 4.2 million young people. We're the largest youth-serving organization in the country. And our national organization has been around for over 100 years. In Kalamazoo, we've been around for over 60 years. So we have a long history in Kalamazoo. On a local perspective and on a national perspective, we got a huge, huge historical impact on youth nationwide.
In terms of your programming, I do see that you have lots of different categories, and I'm very impressed with the depth of them. One category is you have programming dealing with character and leadership development. Mm-hmm. You have some dealing with education and career development.
Correct.
A heading under family support services, mm-hmm. health and life skills, things with the arts, sports and fitness and recreation. Talk about some of your signature programs that you have.
We have a lot of programs, but I think, you know, some of our really signature programs would be our Youth of the Year program, which is a program we identify a youth that's been positively engaged in the Boys and Girls Club, positively engaged in school, which means they're going to school and carrying that C average or better, and strong community involvement and family involvement. And each year, we, as a staff, identify those kids who potentially can be selected as a member of the year, both boys and girls. What that consists of is that they have to write an essay about what the Boys and Girls Club means to them. They have to write an essay about post-secondary education, and then they have to do a public presentation.
At the Boys and Girls
Club? At the Boys and Girls Club. And then we select community members to come and be on a panel of judges to select the eventual member of the year. We've had anywhere from 5 to 10 youth of high school age compete in that event every year. That winner, local winner, goes on to a state competition. And the winner of the state competition has the same criteria that they have to adhere to. The winner of the state competition then goes on to regional competition. If they win at the regional competition, they then go on to the national competition. And the winner of the national competition then becomes the advocate or the voice for Boys and Girls Clubs for the whole next year. They meet the president. They go to the Oval Office.
The president of the United States?
Of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they go around the country in terms of advocating for Boys and Girls Clubs of America. It's a very prestigious award that they receive, and we look at it in that same category here.
Do the kids get excited about it?
Very excited about it. It is one of the most rewarding days of the year for us because we're picking the very cream of the crop for us locally here. This young person, whether it's a boy or whether it's a girl, we've had one state winner here that was a girl. Our staff just get really, really, really excited about it. At the competition, we invite all the parents of there, all the relatives. We normally have it at the Radisson in one of their conference rooms, which is full.
When they make these presentations?
Yeah, when they make these presentations. So it's really emotional because they talk about, man, some of the challenges they have as kids, how much their parents mean to them. And it really does, you know, bring tears from our staff because our staff work with them. Our staff mentor them. Our staff work with them to get them prepared.
How do the kids feel about whether they win or not, just having gone through that experience?
They feel that they've accomplished something, and you can do it if you put your mind to it. And our staff feel very well because they've had an opportunity to really impact that young person itself. Even after the event, those kids really stay close to those staff that have worked with them.
Something else I'm intrigued with, and I presume you still do it, I was reading a story from 2014, and it was talking about how you had more than 100 students make pledges to graduate from high school.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit how that works. I think they kind of put their pledges in like a time capsule.
A time capsule, sure.
And it's on display, what, like in your like
in the
lob,
club.
In the club somewhere?
As soon as you open the door and come in, you'll see this blue time capsule that has all the kids' pledges in it.
And so is the thinking that every year, like graduating high school seniors, mm-hmm. they go in there and remove their pledge out of there?
We do, yeah. We open the time capsule. And then we look at the pledges of the kids who said that they were going to graduate on time. And then we do an assessment, contact the kids, take a look at grades to see where they are. And then we do that again the next year in a time capsule. And with all the kids that are on time to graduate, we put those back in there. The kids, and it's not just the graduating seniors. We got junior high kids in there, too.
Oh, so you go and assess all the ones mm-hmm. in there.
Yeah.
But then my understanding is that every new group of third graders mm-hmm. deposit theirs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that every year a new group of third graders put their...
get an opportunity to go into the time capsule.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful. What do you hope to do once you retire? What's that look
like?
That's
an interesting question. I really don't have an answer. People have asked me that question. It's kind of a loaded question for me. I am not leaving the area. Our home is here. My home is here. I've had an opportunity to leave the community many times to take on other positions and other challenges. And I've chosen to stay here because this community has done so much for me. It may have had such a tremendous impact on me. If I took another job working with young people, I think my challenges would be the same. It's never going to end. We're always going to have children. The children are always going to have needs. And I feel it was my place to stay and help affect change here. This community has done a lot for me, has done a lot for children as a whole. I think when I retire, I think I'm still going to be engaged. I'm going to try to be involved in terms of volunteering. I'm still going to support the club in terms of fundraising. I've developed a lot of friends, people that I know in the community. So I think it's going to be important for me to still be someone that the club can call and say, hey, do you know such and such? We got a golf outing coming up. Who do you know that we can get in the golf outing? We got our annual appeal coming up. Who do you know that we can get in the annual appeal? We've got our Teaming Up for Kids event that's coming up August 20th. Who do you know that we can get to come there? So there's going to be a lot of challenges, that a lot of opportunities for me to still be impactful within the community. So I'm looking forward to that. On the other hand, I'm looking forward to spending more time with my dog, with my family. I got two dogs that I love to death. My daughter's in California. She works for FedEx. I got a son in law enforcement here as a probation officer, spending time with them, grandkids, spending time with my wife, fishing, going to our cabin. There's a lot of stuff I think I can do, but I just hope I don't become too bored or drive people crazy by wanting to call my daughter up, go see her all the time, going to my son Dave's or whatever. So I'll keep myself busy.
I should probably mention before we close that you actually, some of the other careers that you had, you were a first grade teacher.
Yeah.
For a very short period of time.
Yep.
I think, what, about a year?
Not even a year.
And also, weren't you briefly, you had a professional football career briefly?
Yes. Yep. I was originally going to be drafted by Dallas. That did not work out. I got a chance to try out with the Pittsburgh Steelers and broke my neck, the fourth and fifth vertebrae. And that took care of all those dreams. But, you know, the neat thing of that, excuse me, is that I got an education at Western. Okay. So I had options. And we talk about giving kids experiences, so they have options as well. So there was really not a lag in my life because I had something to fall back on. And that's one of the things that we try to emphasize on young people. Make sure you have options. But one of the biggest things that we want to share with them is try to get your post-secondary education, because that's going to open up doors for you. Okay, we want kids to be able to see a future, be able to do things legally, and be able to position themselves for success in life.
And I don't know if your program was serving 2,000 students a year in 1986, but if it was, that'd be at least 60,000 lives affected by your hands. Sounds like this is where you were supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. I believe that wholeheartedly. You know, my daughter often says, Dad, you know, when God put you here for a reason, and even though you have a broken neck, you've had even more impact. Because if you were playing football, Dad, you wouldn't be having as much impact on kids. And she's absolutely right. So there was not a pity party, you know, when that football career ended. I can look back right now and say that I don't even think I skipped a beat. I don't. I mean, because to me, I'm kind of a go-getter. And then once one thing is done, I gotta have something else. I got to have a future. I had to have options. And you know, when opportunity came for this Boys and Girls Club trip journey, I jumped on it and I said, man, this is where I'm supposed to be. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Arlene. I appreciate it.
Robert Ezell will retire as executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kalamazoo on December 31st. This interview first aired on July 21st. For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.